Chase the Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game Live, Radio Row, Media Drive, Digital Drive is what they're calling it now. Here at SEC Media
Days. Hold
on,
I thought that was something totally different.
I don't know.
Digital Drive was like the internet shows or something, and they're calling Radio Row Digital Drive?
Yeah, apparently. Every email I got said formerly Radio Row, so I don't know why.
There's how much I paid attention to the email.
There's a big sign behind us that says that.
No, it said Digital Drive Lunch, and I was like, oh, I guess I mean the internet people's lunch today. Sorry.
Come on, come eat it.
But aren't the internet people on their basement? Isn't that where we figured it out?
Until Media Days, and then they all come out.
We are joined now by the great Cole Kubelik from ESPN and the SEC Network. I want to start with Vanderbilt. We recorded an interview with Diego Pavia earlier, and I bet that was boring. I can't think of a player that Vandy's ever had. Cutler was obviously really good, but that just has that kind of persona, that aura that Pavia has, and how much that program needed something like that.
Yeah, the personality is next level. We had the Alabama game obviously last year, which is a pretty big deal. And we had him we had him against Texas, which almost could have been a big deal. And we were in our TV meeting with Diego, and I had the advantage. I had two of his New Mexico State games the prior year. So I got to know Jerry a little bit. I got to know him. I got to know Tim. And it's one of the funniest things this offseason that everybody has been, why would you not just go dump $2 million on Diego Pavia and this and that? And I'm like, well, without Tim Beck, it ain't the same deal.
Yeah.
Like, it's just not. I mean, and you probably include Jerry in that too. But Tom asked him, what is your message to your guys in the huddle when things are breaking down or things might not be going great? And he gave us this long coach speak answer that I can't really remember. And at the end of it, he said, and you know what, guys? At the end of the day, I just tell them, you got me. And that was it. And I was like, yeah, they do. They got you. So, but he injects life into everything that he does. And some people might think it's too much. Some people might think it's ridiculous. Like, but it is fun at the end of the day. I think he loves football. I think he loves to compete. I think if you told him, hey, guys, we're not playing with helmets this week, like, he wouldn't even second guess it. He would just say, okay, cool. Like, let's go. Like, he just does not care. And the best quote, I know it's early, but I think this will probably hold. The best quote that I have heard so far at Media Days, we had Clark Lee, Greg McElroy, and others on our show this morning, and Greg asked him about this and that, and I said, well, how much media training, you know, as a joke? And he said, here's the thing. I don't want to change Diego. I want Diego Pavia. I want that guy. He goes, now I want to help him, and there are certain things where maybe he's crossed a line or two here or there, but Clark told us a long story about this last offseason last year that he had to do some real time in the mirror with how he handled things and managed things. And one of the things he told us, he said, you know, listen, there are times when guys will do something that I might look at as a strict violation, and that's a game, or that's two games, or that's two series that person's going to miss. And he said, it's one of the things that Jerry Kill's really helped me with is like, hey, man, like, your best players help you win.
Right.
We need to find ways to have our best players on the field, not to take them off the field. So essentially he's loosened up a little bit. And like, I love Clark. I think he's a great coach. I think he's doing a great job. And I think that's, Diego has been a real test for that, for him to say, hey, some of this extracurricular stuff that you might despise, it's okay. And it can inject some life into your program. It can inject some life into your team. And Pavia does that, man. Like, he is energy. That's what he is.
When you look at Vanderbilt especially last year, is really, because, you know, Clark talked about 2023 was really tough for them. Are they shedding that same old Vandy moniker, or do you need to see it again for that truly to go away?
Yeah, they're on the way to it, but I will still say, like, he even kind of referenced something today about, you know, like we can't finagle our way down the field, or we can't use tricks to move the ball. And Greg and I knew what he was saying, but I think I know what he's saying is that there are a lot of people that look at what they do as gimmicky. And so until they get past that, I don't know if they're truly there, but they're on their way. I've been trying to tell people this entire offseason, because my whole story of Media Days is the middle of the pack.
Yeah.
And if you wanted to make the case that it's Texas and Georgia, or Texas, Bama, Georgia, or Texas, Bama, or if you want LSU in there, that's fine. I can convince you that any of those teams will win 11. I can convince you that they'll win 8. But what I really want to know, and I'm really interested in, is like the next six to nine teams. Because there's only one, and that's Mississippi State, that feels like they're truly behind everybody else. Some people are going to say Kentucky right now, but they're kind of wait and see for me. But you take Florida, you take Tennessee, you take Ole Miss, you take Missouri, you take Auburn, you take Vanderbilt. Like, they're all, like, right there. Oklahoma, they're all right there. So who separates? And maybe the more important question is, who's going backwards? Because I don't know the answer to that.
Yeah.
And so I think what is different right now is that I have confidence walking around these media days saying Vanderbilt ain't going backwards. They're not. They're not going to be worse than they were last year. And that's where other years, if they had a magical season here or there, we would say, okay, well, Vandy's back to Vandy. So, like,
yeah, right.
Let's just put them back where they belong, and then we can move on and talk about everybody else. I don't think they're that anymore.
We're talking to Cole Kubelik from the ESPN and the SEC Network. You said you had two Diego games in 23. Was one of those the Auburn game?
No. No, I didn't have that game.
Yeah, I had the MTSU New Mexico State game. He ran all over, and I told Chase, I said, he's not going to lose to Auburn the next week. And he ran all over Auburn. And I was like, this guy's got something. And you saw it 2 years ago when he was in New Mexico State.
Yep. He, the main thing with Diego Pavia is belief. He legitimately doesn't think he's going to lose. And I don't care if it's like a wrestling match, if it's wrestling a bear. I will guarantee you, and if he were here, I would ask him this question in person. I bet Diego Pavia has lost more races against teammates than any college football player in America. Because I bet he challenges more team. Like, he thinks he can beat guys in a race, 40 yards, 100 yards, 50 yards. And he'll go – if anybody challenges him, he'll go do it. And he'll think he can beat them, and then he's not that fast. Like, he doesn't beat you with speed. He's not slow, but, like, he's not, like, a track guy. But I can see – I could easily see him going to a receiver being like, dog, I beat you in the 40 right now. And the guy beats it by, like, 15 yards. He's like, oh, I got a bad start or something like that. But the main thing with Diego is belief, man. Like, he believes they're going to get a first down. He believes they're going to score. He believes they're going to win. And that's contagious. It really is. Like, because there's a lot of guys that just don't think things are going to always go their way. And when somebody's around you that does think that, and then a couple things do,
yeah,
that belief begins to fall on you. And you're like, no, man, we can do this. We're going to do this. And that changes the mindset of your program.
Can I ask you, we're going to talk some other stuff real quick with you. The Arch Manning love, right? I get he's a good quarterback, Cole, but I've not seen him.
Well, is he? We don't know.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I've not seen him at LSU or in Knoxville or in Athens. I don't. Where's the?
I'll take it a step further for you.
Yeah.
Go back to the last 10 SEC media days. What is the one trait that people will be pointing to as to why a team is most likely to win the SEC?
Quarterback.
Yep. Yeah. And what are the teams that we just said are most likely to win the league this year? Texas.
Yep.
Georgia. Who else? Bama.
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 And then maybe LSU. If this is 3 years ago, 5 years ago, we're all sitting here going, LSU.
Yeah.
They got Nuss. LSU's going to win it. Why are we not doing that this year?
It's a great point.
I hadn't seen Ty Simpson play real football. Now, I had the Mississippi State game when Arch started last year. I think he's got big-time skill. I think his demeanor is going to help him a lot more than people believe and understand. Because it comes across in a very different way to what Pavia does. It's like, he just doesn't care, man. Like, Arch thinks he can do it. He's not going to tell you that. He's very low-key person. Like, he's not out with it like Pavia is. But deep down, like, he thinks he can do it. And, I mean, Ty Simpson, we hadn't seen these guys play.
Right, we haven't.
But we just think, like, Gunnar Stockton started, what, two games?
Yeah.
Yep.
And we just think he's fine. Like, we don't know, man. And so does that mean it opens the door for a Florida or a South Carolina who probably do have that guy to propel them up ahead of the others? I don't know the answer to that. But I do think it's interesting that this year, like, every other year we would have said, nah, first-year quarterback, first-year quarterback, first-year quarterback, or unproven quarterback. But now all of a sudden this year it's, well, he started a game, he's fine. Or he started two games, he's good. Or he came in that game, he's okay. And it might not be that. But I'm with you. I think Arch has a chance to be great. I'm not putting him in the proven commodity category just
thank
yet.
You. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you.
Cole Kubelik is here with us. Speaking of quarterbacks, Tennessee obviously had their deal with Nico transferring out as late as he did. How do you view the Vols going into this year with the uncertainty at quarterback? It seems like Coach Heupel has confidence in what he has, but there's a lot of questions there.
They're in that grouping in the middle of the pack of could separate, could fall back. Are they going to fall back a little from last year? Probably. But I think when Josh Heupel made that decision with Nico that he made, and we all celebrated it. Yep. You know, 99% of us were like, hell yeah, yep. man, like, way to go. We appreciate that.
Right.
When you do that as a Tennessee fan, you also need to have the reality check with yourself of, okay, this might be 8 wins this year.
Yeah.
But it's for the greater good. Because Joey Aguilar does not have the ceiling that Nico has. Like, he physically, he is not as capable as Nico Iamaliava is. And Nico made some bad reads last year. Nico, at times, eyes played tricks on him. Okay, but just understand the ceiling is not where it was before. But I think Joey's a solid player. He's got a ton of experience, but he doesn't have a ton of experience in this offense, which asks you to do different things, mainly from a tempo standpoint. Like, there are fundamentals that go along with that that are hard to learn. And they're not natural. You know, it's not natural to know where a play ends and where to immediately go line up for the next play like that fast. Like, that's not a normal thing that you do. Being able to read and know things that need to change very quickly because of how fast your offense is going, some of that's not normal. And he hasn't really operated it to the level that he's going to now, but he's got some skill. He's capable. I think their D-line's going to be really good again. Not as deep, but I think it's going to be good. I think the offensive line is my biggest question mark. And the counter that I get to that is, well, 5-star this, 4-star that. All right, well, I hadn't seen those guys play college football.
Right.
So I'm not banking on them just yet.
Have they figured out Heupel's up-tempo offense? I feel like last year was, I want the go, 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 and now I'm getting the backing off in the center, checking the sidelines, and it's just like.
I think part of the reason was with that last year is that oftentimes they run the ball with success due to that tempo. And last year they could run the ball with success without it. And so he understood he had a younger quarterback that needed maybe more time to see and process things. And the offensive line in the tight end group and the back, they were good enough to just go run. They could call it and run it, run plays, and get away with it. And oftentimes their success comes from the tempo. They trap you in a look or a defensive personnel grouping that allows them to keep running it. And last year, I don't think they needed all that to have success running the football.
Interesting, because, you know, 22 with Hooker, it was go, 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 and people couldn't figure it out and ended up with them going to the Orange Bowl. I just felt like it was a little slower and people had time to get adjusted to that.
But I also think, too, it's a little bit of Josh's evolution. Like, I know last season their main point of emphasis was physicality. It was, we need to know how to hammer. Like, we need to close out games. We need to control the tempo of games. Yeah. And controlling the tempo of games sometimes was not going fast all the time. Saying, all right, if we're going to be in a dogfight on the road, do we want them to have 2 or 3 extra possessions? No. Slow it down. It's okay. And with the younger quarterback on the road, on top of that, I think that was another reason that they did it. But with the physicality that they added and had some success with, I think that's why they were able to do it.
You talked earlier about you wanted to see the next 6 or 9 of that pack breakout. Who's one team that you really like that's not the Texas, Georgia, Alabama level?
There are reasons to like a lot of them. South Carolina's a team that I like. I think it's easy to look at what they lost on defense. Kyle Kennard was great. Obviously, Tonka Hemingway, TJ Sanders, Boogie Huntley inside were great. Mm-hmm. I don't think you just replaced those guys. Demetrius Knight was the most interesting man in the SEC at linebacker. Like, he was awesome. He'll be tough to replace. Nicky Minori. But you start going through it, and you're like, man, Judge Collier and DQ Smith, like, these guys have played a lot of football in this system.
Yeah.
And Dylan Stewart's a takeover guy. You go get a legit talent, Sean Murphy, who signed with Alabama, went to Florida State at linebacker. Like, he might be an upgrade physically. And then on offense, you got some young receivers that could help quarterback out. I'll just say this. That offense did not score against the defense in spring or fall last year.
Ooh.
They were worried about that group. It's not going to be like that now. And it might not be a top 3 offense in the league, but it's going to be better than it was. So I think they're a team that I think a lot of people are looking at right now, and they're saying, yes, Lenore Sellers, yes, Dylan Stewart, but I don't know about all this. And I'm kind of like, well, they might be okay with all that. Like, Joshua Simon at tight end, I don't know if they have another guy like him. He was great for them the last few years. But this is what I do know. Shane Beamer has gotten more from less out of the portal than any coach in this league. Because I just mentioned Joshua Simon at tight end. Nobody was talking about him coming from Western Kentucky.
Right.
Kyle Kennard at Media Days last year, not a word. Dude leads the SEC in sacks. Demetrius Knight from Charlotte.
Yep.
Got drafted. Nobody talking about him. Mario Anderson at running back a couple years ago. D2 kid. Almost ran for 1,000 yards. Nick Gargiulo from the Ivy League 2 years ago starts at center every game. Nobody talking about it.
Yeah.
So there's going to be two or three guys on that team that are transferring in that none of us are talking about that are going to end up being pretty good players.
For sure. Cole Kublik here with us. I know you got to go. I know you got a lot to do. Thanks so much for jumping on with us and coming by. And we look forward to watching you on ESPN and SEC Network.
Thank you. I appreciate you guys having me.
Yeah, absolutely. Cole Kublik joining us here on the program at SEC Media Days. We are on Digital Drive, Radio Row. Coming up next, Vanderbilt football coach Clark Lee will join the program. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game.